Being sick is really expensive. Being divorced is really expensive. Bankruptcy really can get really expensive. All this bad stuff, if you're a part of the kingdom, then what happens is when, doesn't mean bad stuff's not going to happen. It just means when it comes, you're going to be able to have tools to overcome. And probably one of the biggest tools is attending the fall feast. I know for us, if you attend with us, I'm going to be bringing probably 4 or 5 prophetic words that are going to be crucial to hear before the election in November.
All right, so welcome to this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We're super excited that you're joining us. You're spending your time. This is the most precious thing you have each and every week, Thursday for audio, 6 a.m. and 7 o'clock right here on YouTube and Facebook and some other platforms. So we can't thank you enough. Rabbi, let's jump straight in. Last week's episode, we talked a lot about 5785. We talked about the significance of biblical numbers and a lot of not funny, but funny comparisons that just line up when you learn this stuff and you really dive into it with prayer and with trust and just with knowledge and studying. And so we talked about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This time we're going to talk about Yom Kippur and Sukkot and kind of wrap up the prep episodes for everyone heading into the fall feast. So what little quick word do you have for people before we really dive into this?
This is the biblical year of the fall feast, 5785, is a year to anoint and to mantle or empower you with a king priest anointing. So a lot of times people struggle with, like business people, is like, I can be spiritual, like if I go to church, but how do I have to be spiritual, you know, at my job? And so there's a way to be a king and actually rule and prosper, but there's also a way to be a priest. King David was a king and a priest. And so when Jesus anoints us, and when you get born again, you are actually classified in the spirit realm as a king and a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So that's the king of righteousness. So when Jesus paid for you, he paid for you to be a king and priest. And one of the reasons that the feast of Yom Kippur, which is a repentance and a cleansing time, and then you cleanse and the next feast you go into is the feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot in Hebrew. So what that is that's the preparation of the bridegroom. And one of the things we do is we build what they call sukkahs, and it's just like we have it in the courtyard at our house, and it's made out of wood and sticks and willow branches. And what it does is it reminds us that the Lord brought provision while we were still wandering in the wilderness. We had a pillar and we had a cloud and we had manna. But we remember the promise that he gave to Abraham. And he said that our descendants would be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. So when you're in that sukkah, you can look up. And I know when I have my grandkids there, we're telling them, you see all those stars? Those stars represent all the people and the Jewish people that the Lord has a covenant with us. But what Sukkot is about, Tabernacles, is about a 7-day impartation from the Lord to prepare like for a wedding feast. So like you actually get prepared for being in a higher level of habitation and abiding than you were last year, so that you can have more intimacy, more power, and more purpose intentionally for this biblical year that's coming, 5785.
So like one thing that's always got me excited and jacked up through the couple years worth of feast that I've been able to be a part of is your different level of excitement as you kind of get close, because you're so in tune to the Hebrew calendar and the numbers. And I'd love more teaching or for us to be more intentional as we go throughout episodes and months within a year, right? To try to throw in whatever number with whatever's happening in the world, because it makes too much sense. it makes all the sense. But I guess going back to how I thought I was going to ask the question, what really drives you, right? That we're doing this podcast episode and we're essentially trying to get people, one, prepared, and two, hopefully excited, right? Excited for multiple different reasons. Maybe they've never celebrated a feast before, or maybe this is their first time to start a new year. Maybe they picked up with us during 5784, right? But what really fuels you as we lead into this season, right? I mean, I don't want you to state the obvious, right? The obvious would be all the things that we've talked about the past couple weeks. I think it's pretty apparent, but like what's the individual Curt Landry excited about, and like what really fuels you in this season every year as we make transition into a new Hebrew year?
Well, a lot of my prophet friends are saying the same thing. And what they're saying is like the next 2 years are kind of transitional, but what we do this year is critical for the next 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you think about that?
For this year?
Well, I mean,
it's painfully in front of me, but I didn't have it last year and I didn't have it the year before. So, and so I'll just, you know, I can just say it. I mean, I'm saying the prophetic word that I'm speaking is it's time to anoint and prepare the kings and priests for the future of 5785, the year of grace, perfection, new beginnings, and double grace. Okay, so that's what I've been saying. But then you have somebody like Chuck Pierce, and what he's saying it's time to restore the altars. So what he's talking about is that there's going to be ministry that goes into certain gates. You know, every country has gates. Every industry has a gate. And so what happens is you have to spiritually go into that gate and take the gate. Like Washington, D.C. is a gate. New York City is a gate. Los Angeles is a gate. Houston is a gate. These are all, God's doing some unique things in the state of Florida. All these places have key locations to, so what Apostle Chuck is saying, is it's time to reestablish those altars, which meaning that in the spirit, you knock down and you bind and cast out the evil that's on the altar, and you erect a righteous altar so that that territory can start to respond to the holiness and what God wants to do. So now that's what he's saying, but I'm saying the same thing, because who's going to tear down those altars and build them back up? The king priest. And so what Apostle Chuck is saying is he's saying that it's going to be critical in the next 48 months. Well, I'm saying the same thing. The Lord told me the next 2 years. But the Lord also told me these fall feasts, the preparation from the awakening blast of Rosh Hashanah, the cleansing of Yom Kippur, and the abiding priesthood of receiving 7 days to receive and to absorb and have a, it's not enough to have an identity as a king priest, but you need the stewardship. What are the habits and patterns for it so that you can become an ambassador? And when you speak and declare a thing like Job, it shall come to pass. Well, we're saying the same things, but it's going to be the king and priest that prepare at this fall feast who are going to be sent out for the next 2 years to restore these altars. And so it's kind of unusual actually to have, Apostle Chuck and I, we're actually totally on the same, we've been on the same page all the time. But what I'm saying is you're hearing it because the word of the prophet is subject, and we're older prophets. And I think you have to rely on some of that experience that, so you're asking me how serious this one is. This is the most serious fall feast I've ever been through in 35 years of being a believer.
So there's a lot of fear and anxiety over people right now for a lot of different reasons. I'm sure there's people dealing with some real tragic things in their lives, right? I'm not just talking about the timeliness of an election. I'm talking more personal. And, you know, life is really tough, right? And the fear and anxiety with paying bills and just providing for their family, which does relate to the current economy and inflation and different things, that is a very real thing. And people feel that. How do you battle fear and anxiety knowing what's to come the next 2 years, right? Because you said you didn't feel it this year or last year, you know, like the past couple, but there's a different, tone.
Yeah. The intensity.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, for me personally, October the 7th, what happened in Israel and then Christy and I going over changed us forever, because to see that high level of evil is like, it's, you know, it's incredible. So, I guess the best way I can say it is like, I've got a message. You can go back and watch it on the archives. And I think the title of the message is, Christianity is dying. So, and the reason I preach that message is because, first of all, it's the word the Lord gave me. He said, Christianity is dying. And I'm going, oh my gosh. But here's the fact, okay? Number one, Christian or Christianity is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible, okay? And the root of that word, and words have power, because when you say, I am well, I am sick, your body actually will start to manifest whatever you I am. So when you say, I am a Christian, you have to understand that the name Christian came as a derogatory term to the early church, basically criticizing the followers of Christ. And but Jesus did not come and die for Christians. Jesus came to die for everyone so that they might be part of his kingdom. Now it says in Isaiah that he says, and of his kingdom, it shall never fail and always increase. So the kingdom of God is increasing in the world, but Christianity, if you look at the Pew resource, which I did, it's dying. I mean, the church business, if you want to look at it as a business, it's dying. It's losing members, it's losing finances, it's going down. But the kingdom of God is rising up. So like when you see these areas where there's like big revivals and people are getting saved, what else is happening? You see these big things in Africa, and some of my evangelist friends, when they see that, you would say, well, no, Christianity's not dying. I'm saying that's not Christianity. That's the kingdom, because they're binding and loosing and casting out demons and people are being healed. The blind see, the deaf hear. That's not Christianity. That's kingdom. That's kingdom authority. And so the thing is, I'm not trying to split hairs over words, but I'm just trying to say this. The kingdom is going to increase. So you ask me the question, it's like people are hurting you need to change kingdoms.
Mm-hmm. How?
You need to have a kingdom mindset. I'll be honest with you. I know how wacky I am. I know I have a blue I have a blue passport. I know that. And I know all the privilege I have in Israel with that pass, what I do there. I can go anywhere. You've been there. I understand that. But like, for instance, when I meet the foreign minister of Israel, which I did at the airport the last time I flew in, he was there. He was meeting us. And he said, you know, I've heard a lot about you. And he says, well, what are you? I said, I'm a believer. I didn't say I was a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer in the kingdom. I am a kingdomcrat, if you want to call it, not a Democrat or a Republican. I am a kingdom. So here's the thing. Is if you're worried about your finances and you you have to understand that you can actually, the kingdom has its own economy. The kingdom has its own systems. The kingdom has its own rules and regulations. And I'm subject to those. If I have a kingdom mindset, then all the benefits of his kingdom are mine. Like it's God's intent to make the manifold wisdom of God be made manifest through the church that's in that kingdom, Ephesians 3:10. Or Ephesians 3:20, he gives us the Holy Spirit to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. That's kingdom power. So it's supernatural power in the kingdom. And that's why he says in Ephesians, he says, remember you Gentiles, and Gentile in Hebrew, goyim, means without God. You without God, you without being in the kingdom, were separated from what? The commonwealth of Israel. The kingdom is a commonwealth. It actually has authority. He wants you to be an ambassador of the kingdom. He wants you to abide with Christ in you. That's why the fall feast, particularly tabernacles, is so important, because you have 7 days to basically get a download that you are a son and daughter of the king. You have the power of a king and a priest. You're an ambassador in Christ. But the thing is, you need to learn about that country. You know, I've got a friend that's an ambassador in Kenya, Nairobi, and I have another Israeli ambassador, the former mayor of Me'el Damim. Now he's the ambassador of Hungary. So these, both of them asked me, well, they said, Kurt, we want you to come. And of course, like, if I get invited by the ambassador of Hungary, the Israeli ambassador, well, guess what? When I fly into the airport, it's all different. I'm not in the giant line with everybody else. I exit out the side exit, go down the stairs. They have a limo. They pick me up with security guards, and they take me around through the ambassador's entrance. You see what I'm saying? So, so I'm just giving you real life. This is how this works. But you have to understand, as a kingdom ambassador, are you out begging for your prayers to answer? Or are you coming boldly into the throne room of God and decreeing and knowing and believing that God's going to answer your prayers? I mean, am I getting too cranked up here?
No. You're making a ton of sense, and I think you're leading people exactly where they need to be led in this moment, especially as we're, you know, trying to tie everything back into what the fall feast is. Just curious, because you throw a lot of Ephesians, Galatians, I hear a lot of Isaiah. What's your favorite book?
It probably would be Ephesians.
Yeah.
Well, let's look
at a good one.
Paul writes this. You look at his journey.
It's a tough book, especially for new Christians.
Yeah.
Or believers, right?
Yeah. Well, I had a friend of mine. He's high-level special ops guy, and he works in cybersecurity for the United States government. And he's a non-fire believer. So he was on the phone with me this week, and he says, you know, he says, I've listened to you. He goes, well, you carry so heavy. But he says, you're like a special ops Bible teacher. And I said, well, that's one way to look at it. And I said, well, can I give you my motivation? And I said, yeah. And I said, results. Because if you don't get results, you won't stay a Christian. I'm not saying you're not saved, but if it's not working, excuse me, if it's not working, I mean, look at things that happen because of perishing for lack of knowledge, like divorce. How expensive is that?
I haven't done it, but I've heard it's pretty expensive.
I've got friends that, you know, like, you go ahead and you acquire all this wealth, and then you choose to get a divorce, and so your net worth is cut in half. You know, you're 40, 45, 50, whatever that age, and that happens a lot. So you just worked for, like, as a family, and you just cut your net worth in half. That's expensive. That's a transfer of wealth to the devil, because, listen, not only is it terrible on the kids and you and the family and all the stuff, but financially, you just took a huge hit. So what if you're not walking in the power of God for healing, and you end up and you have a triple bypass or whatever, you're sick. Being sick is really expensive. Being divorced is really expensive. Bankruptcy can get really expensive. all this bad stuff, if you're a part of the kingdom, then what happens is when, doesn't mean bad stuff's not going to happen. It just means when it comes, you're going to be able to have tools to overcome. And probably one of the biggest tools is attending the fall feast. I know for us, if you attend with us, I'm going to be bringing probably four or five prophetic words that are going to be crucial to hear before the election in November. And I know I'm not going to speak them until I have to be in that atmosphere. And I've been asked to speak at two other conferences during the fall feast, and I normally don't do it, but this year I said yes. So I'll be speaking at House of David and two other conferences. And one of the reasons is that the Lord has told me, like, that's what happened. One of the leaders of the other group said, the Lord, you know, I've never even spoke at their event. He said, no, the Lord said, you're carrying the word. Now, and I am. Now, listen, I'm not carrying all the word. We prophesy in part, we look through a glass dimly. I'm carrying part of it. But part of that world, the word is being able to be secure in your identity during times of chaos and confusion, because we got a lot of chaos and confusion. No matter how this election goes, it's going to be chaos and confusion.
Yeah, your travel schedule is that too. I mean, yeah. You're going to be everywhere in the next couple months. I don't think people realize it's not difficult. It's a challenge, and it's a good one that I love that you're committed to, but it can be a challenge to try to get these episodes, you know, recorded in the can, try to put you in the right position and space to where, you know, you can be inspired and be led by the Spirit to just bring this type of content to people. And I think a lot of people have really appreciated it, but I do know that the audience listening, watching, other than Megan and probably Tucker, and very much so myself, how difficult sometimes it is to try to get this content, right? And, you know, it's such a blessing to, like, get you in this space and to receive these words and to have these types of conversations. I try to keep them laid back. I think it's a good vibe and feel, and I think people are able to almost kind of grab their popcorn a little bit and just listen to you a little bit differently. But man, you know, it's a challenging time for everyone, and
it really is. And I personally feel like, you know, at 35 years in ministry, 69 years old, and I feel like I've really been called for such a time as this to bring the experience, you know.
It's so needed.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Todd, a friend of mine, he's like 40, and he called up and he said, Rabbi, how can you, I listen to you. How do you get away saying this stuff? And I just said to him, I said, because I'm old. Now, but what I meant by, then he asked what that meant, and I'll explain it. What I meant by that, I'm old enough to tell you the truth, even though it might offend you and offend other people. And, you know, just like I did the article on charisma about Israel and Hamas. So, you know,
I mean, like, you've been through censorship, so it's not new to you.
Yeah, and well, so it's my job is to give you the truth. And the truth will set you free. I listen, you have to, you're in the world, but not of the world, but you need to have good intel spiritually. And there's so much flaky stuff out there. Listen, I don't talk about it I just stay away from it. I don't work with a lot of people. And one of the reasons is a lot of the content of what they're saying, it's not that I don't agree with it, but spiritually it doesn't witness to me. You know, you can have great revelatory teaching as a preacher, teacher, evangelist, an apostle, prophet, but if it's not relevant for right now, if it's not now words, then it's like, well, it's in an old wineskin, and you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. So that's why I try to stay as relevant as I can with the now words. And you kind of know a little bit, like, you know, I like to go to the beach. So if I go to the beach, I say, well, look at, he likes, you know, he's no, if I can get time at the beach, what it does is, I think the last time I was at the beach for like 6 hours, I got 19 downloads that I wrote in a journal, 19. I wouldn't have got those in my office, or if I'm busy and I'm here and people are doing it, you have to be able to isolate somewhat to be able to spiritually download. In fact, you make jokes like a lot of times when I come back from the beach and I'm sharing, if it's real good, you'll say,
you fired up, buddy.
You'll say, go back to the beach, you know, yeah. And I always laugh. But I understand why. Now, there's other places I go for that. It's not just the beach. There, you know, I can go out in the country. But you need to separate yourself. And that's really what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about, is to remind yourself you're under these three-sided sukkahs with palm branches and willow branches on the roof. And what it is, it's a very fragile. We build one every year at our house. It's very fragile, and the kids come down. And what I teach them is, it's right next to Sabanana's house. So here's this rock house, and then here's this stick house. And what I teach them is this. Basically, it's the God over the stick house, and the rock house is really where you should abide. It's not the rock house. The rock house is not your safety. And this Sukkot, this Sukkah, reminds us that if you'll abide and be married to the king, and knowing that the bridegroom's coming, you need to be that wise virgin that trims your wick and has your oils ready so that when the trumpet sounds, you're ready to go. And so it's very illustrative for me to, and I can tell you, they get it, because they can tell you, Joseph is four. He can tell you the story of why we're in the sukkah. And it's just real basic stuff. We have children's books on it, and they're great. You should order them and read them to your babies. But this year is spiritually probably going to be the biggest paradigm shift in the world globally, because of a lack of leadership in the world. There's not very many solid, like, actual leaders. I don't want to mention names, but this, in all the years I've been around, I've never seen all the nations have such weak leadership. And that's very dangerous. It's especially when they're dictators, and it's a very dangerous time. There has to be a superpower, and there has to be a sheriff. There has to be somebody who's driving the world on the earth and says in the station wagon, as we did in the 60s, don't make me stop this car. There's no one driving. There's no one in the front seat of the car that will say, like, can say, don't make me stop this car. And everyone backs up and goes, woo. That person's not here right now. And the world, sadly, everyone doesn't like it, but everyone needs, like, that strong dad in the front, you know, saying, don't make me stop that car. You know, if my mother, you know, we loved and honored my mom, and my mom would say, now you kids, you stop that. Now she'd do her stuff, right? But all my dad had to do was, Curtis, and that was it. I mean, just one time my name, Curtis, just like that, sounds just like him, exactly. So I would hear that, and it's like, oh my gosh. So what's happening is, we need kingdom authority people that say, Jesus. We need those people to rise up in the pulpits, and we need people with power. We need people with authority. We need people who aren't trying to build and save their ministries. They need to build and save the kingdom of God.
I guess my last thought, just to throw at you, and I mean, we've only got probably 2 minutes, so jump on it real quick and then let's jump out. I think one of the biggest reasons why this fall feast in 5785 is so important, and it was something that you threw out there and said, hey, watch this message on just Christians, Christianity, where's it going, right? I think because the teaching, it's just a lot of churches and a lot of Christians, believers, right, just aren't preaching the word right now. from like a I think it goes throughout when you're looking at politics or anything else, right? You've had a lot of comments. We've had conversation about Donald Trump's spirituality, right? And you know, we had a short that, hey, I mean, like, Trump isn't a preacher. We're not voting for a preacher. We're voting for a president of the United States. And, you know, the feast, aligning yourself, aligning your heart and your life to God's timing and his perfect timing, when there's just a lot of probably feel-goodism and some different stuff kind of just being out there too much. And I mean, I'm speaking from my own personal experience, but from people I know and other believers that have gone ups and downs with different churches and just kind of what's going on personally with them and then the country and just the timeliness of it. And I think the reason why a lot of people really respect your teaching and subscribe to YouTube and listen to the show and watch it and join us for Friday night Shabbats is because you're preaching the word and you're teaching people how to align with God's timing and how important, especially this new year, is.
I think that younger and older pastors and preachers right now, they're in a very difficult situation and they have to try to maintain their church and their ministry. And in the process of that, their people are hurting. And so what they're doing is they're bringing comfort food.
Mm. Yeah.
I get it. But, and I'm good with it, but it's not what I do. You know, I'm a steak and potato meaty thing. And first of all, I'm not called to do it. It's not who I am, but here's the truth, Daryl. And you know me well enough. I want to give you something that works. So for all the years I've been doing this, if I ask the Lord, where's the pain, where's the problem, and where's the solution? If I don't know, if I can't identify the pain point, I can't and find the solution and in the scripture, then I'm not going to bring up the problem. I'm not bringing up a problem unless I have an answer for it. And so what I do is, the way I'm wired is, I pray during the week for Friday night Shabbat, and I ask the Lord, okay, where's the problem? Like this week, the problem is people don't trust Christianity, okay? And so I'm going to actually unpack why they don't trust it and why they can trust the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So the kingdom is mentioned in the Bible over 365 times. Christianity is only mentioned 3 times. So what happens is you have a mindset to where this is Christianity. It's not working. I don't like those Christians. They're hypocrites. They lie, cheat, and steal. But you have to put your mind on the kingdom and his king, the king and the kingdom. Okay, so now that's where I've lived there for 35 years. I've always been a kingdom. And I was amazed that once I started teaching on kingdom and dominion and power, people started coming against me and go, oh man, he's a dominionist. He's a kingdom now person. I don't even know what a kingdom now thing is. I'm serious. All these accusations, and I'm poor me. I mean, I'm not like some seminary guy, you know. I'm a wilderness baby here. So all I know is everything I've ever learned is everything I teach you is because I use it and it works. And other people use it and it works. And so, you know, there's the prophetic. You know, Daryl and I were setting up here and he wanted to talk to me about some real estate stuff. And isn't it interesting that one of my dear friends called and said, do you think I should, he has 2 buildings, which I know the buildings. And he said, do you think I should sell those buildings? And I said, yeah, sell it before the election. So that's because prophetically, I have an idea what's coming. So when he called, it's like, I already knew, you know, there's some things I'm hanging on to and some things I'm selling. So you need to, the spiritual and the feast and the prophetic and going into the fourth dimension and hearing from God. This is a lifestyle to live above the fray and not be a part of it. And so that's who I am. And I feel like I owe it to you to do it. And had a dear friend signal me from Shanghai, China today and made a comment on one of the messages that we did. And they And the comment from our Chinese friend was, she's actually called you Dale. So in Chinese, Daryl means is Dale.
Okay.
She said, Dale does a great job on the interview. And she said, and I'm really enjoying the podcast, but her comment was, but it looks like you're having too much fun. That, so, I mean, it's projecting that, you know, and I'll tell you why it's fun,
pretty fun
is because I love what I'm doing. And, I, you know, this is, we always joke like in the Winnie the Pooh, because I have grandkids, that I tell them, I said, Saba's a Tigger. I bounce and destroy things. So that, and then the Tigger goes, I'm the only one. So sometimes I do feel like I'm the only one bouncing down the path that I'm bringing you, but I'm bringing you stuff that works, that will get you results. You don't have to take it on. You can either get a witness. And that's why I always bring two or three scriptures to back up everything I'm saying, because you know what? You need to test everything. Just because I said it, you don't have to believe it, but you need to test it. But no, I think one of the reasons people can get comfortable with what I'm teaching, and that's why I've written these books, is because, you know what? It works.
Rabbi, 30 seconds. It didn't have to be 30, but let's dive in, because we've gone a little over. I mean, it's been such a good conversation. I don't think people are going to mind. Look into your camera and pray for people to receive this podcast, the direction, God's timing for 5785.
You know, I had a prophetic word, and you can look it up. It's a blog, and it's on the 4D vault. And I had a vision of a vault, and it was wrapped with a big logging chain. And in order to open it, we had to cut the chain. And the chain represented pride and fear. So that's my prayer. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, may that chain of pride and fear. Listen, you're not going to fail with God. You may fail with all your choices. Listen, failure is the best teacher. I've learned more from failing than I ever did from success. So you just need to embrace it and say this after me. Say, Father God, in Yeshua's name, my identity is not in my success or my failure. My identity is I am a king and a priest and a son and daughter of the king. That's it. And it's not like if you fail, it's like you don't get like knocked down from king priest to maybe prince, you know, okay, now you're a prince priest, you know, no, you're not failing. So I remember the Lord gave me a word in 1990, and he says, I'll give you more grace trying than crying. You got to try. You got to step out there. Listen, I cut the soul tie with what people think. Who really cares? 10 years from now, a lot of the people who are criticizing what you're doing that's not working, they're not even going to be in your life. It doesn't matter what they think. You know, when I preach to an audience of one. When I get done ministering here or at House of David, wherever I'm at, when I get out in my car, first thing I do is I say, thank you, Father. And then I ask him, how did I do? That's it. I want to know, was it good? Did you like it? And what can I do better? And we have a conversation. I got about a 20-minute ride to my house. And every time on Friday night, I have a 20-minute conversation with the Lord. How did I do? How could I make it better? First thing I ask him is, were you happy with it? And it's not even the content. Were you happy with my spirit? Did I deliver it in love? Because you can be tough and tender. And I ask the Lord, you know, you can't just always be tender. You have to be tough sometimes too. So I just pray that fear and pride, that chain be cut off your life, that you can open up the vault of the fourth dimension of that which is written in the books in heaven for your life, that you might walk with purpose, intention, and impact in Yeshua's name.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. We can't thank you enough for listening and for watching. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button on your screen right now to get daily and weekly spiritual content. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.